Hello, everyone. Doug Bouchon, publisher of orangeandbluenews.com, covering the Fighting Illini. Welcome to episode 4 of our podcast series. We're just kind of getting our feet wet on this thing. And today we got myself and Kedrick Prince from the site talking with Tim O'Halloran from edgytim.com. And Tim, for a long time, has been the authority on high school football recruiting in the state of Illinois. Thanks for coming on with us, Tim.
Probably too long, but yeah, I appreciate it, Doug. Good to be here.
All right, cool. And, you know, before we delve into recruiting, we're going to get into some of the recruiting woes of the Illini when they're trying to recruit this state, especially the Chicago area. But I know you've been running camps for a long time. You've been sponsoring camps. Tell us about the one you got coming up in January, the Underclassmen Showcase.
Yeah, I've done this one. It's held every year on Martin Luther King holiday. You know, we had to stop for a couple years, but I'd say overall, I think this is the 10th or the 11th that I've been able to have, and been really fortunate with it. I get a ton of support statewide, and really the thing's become, Doug, you've been there, it's become more of a, almost a Midwest thing at times, where we're getting kids from, you know, a handful of different states. I already know, looking at the advanced registration, we've got about a half dozen states already signed up, so It's the timing's right. It's a good time of the year. Obviously with the whole COVID thing, it's a whole other, probably a whole other podcast. You could probably do it itself, how things have screwed up with all of this, with high school football here in Illinois and these kids just looking to do something. But yeah, it's set for, January 18th, at McCook in, it's the Mac Center in McCook is generally where we've had it every year. And just go to my website. I tweet out links for it for registration. So far, pre-registration's gone really well. You know, we try to control the numbers and limit the numbers, and we're obviously doing that even more so this year with COVID and the various restrictions that we're following very closely. And that goes back, Doug, I was running camps back in September during all this. And, man, I tell you what, you learn a lot when you're trying to run a camp with COVID restrictions. It was interesting to say the least, but, you know, we were able to do it safely and found a way to pull it off. And, you know, the goal is to give these kids something to do, some exposure, and be able to do it safely as well. So, no, I appreciate the plug for sure.
Yeah, you know, I've been to a couple of these at the Max there, and it seems like every year we go to these, there are some kids who you didn't really know a whole lot about coming into the camp. And then after that, they start blowing up and getting offers from everybody. Do you expect that same kind of turnout this year? Some good talent coming?
Yeah, it's cool because it seems like every year there's a handful of kids like, I don't even know about it. It's my own camp and I don't even know who these kids are. And they pop up out of nowhere. I mean, I go back to the year that Miles McVeigh out of East St. Louis was an eighth grader. And Coach Mitchum down at East St. Louis had to twist my arm to let an eighth grader into the camp. And he said, well, trust me, Ed, you'll be glad this kid showed up. And then this 6'5", 350-pound kid shows up that's basically outplaying juniors in high school. And so every year there's a story like that. And that's what makes it fun, to find those kids that really no one's been able to find and really get a handle on. And especially with everything going on, because, Doug, especially in-state, we've had no football in over a year. And it's really, really difficult for – you know, kids get exposure now and they're just dying to do something. So, I mean, just the fact that there's a camp that they can go compete and at least keep that mindset going, it's really important. And so, yeah, that's definitely a fun aspect of it for sure.
I look forward to coming up there for that too. I always look forward to it. Kedrick, I got one more question and you can jump in, but let's just cut to the chase right away. Let's go right into it. What is wrong with Illinois football recruiting in their own state? Last year they signed nobody from the state of Illinois. This year they got three guys, all offensive linemen, nobody in the top 30, according to our ratings on Rivals. What's wrong with them, Edgy? Why aren't they able to get kids out of the state?
I just don't think there's a real pressing need or a demand from their standpoint, them meaning the coaches, to recruit this state on a consistent basis. You know, I certainly root for Illinois. I certainly want to see them do well. I think a lot of people around the state feel the same way. I know a lot of high school coaches that feel the same way. But on the flip side, they will tell you that there's just not the, I guess, the maybe the foot traffic or the foot soldiers to consistently recruit and to continue to make the efforts. And it's been frustrating for sure. I think it's been frustrating from the high school coach's standpoint. I think it's frustrating from the fan standpoint. And, you know, we hear that, you hear that probably more than anyone regarding in-state recruiting. And, you know, Doug, we've talked about this for years. I don't think you'll ever get to a point where you're going to get everybody, all the top kids here, but, you know, at least go down swinging. And I don't even know if they're going down swinging right now, to be honest.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, that's not going to be a winning program, right? Because at school like Illinois, you have to get some homegrown talent. If you're going to Florida and you're going to Texas, you can get some second and third tier kids out of there. But it seems like you have the best shot, you know, recruiting your own state when it comes to some of those highly ranked kids.
Yeah, and you know, again, I'm obviously, I cover in-state recruiting, so I'm a homer automatically. But you know, I'm the first one to realize that you're not going to build a winning program just off of in-state recruits. You have to go out, obviously, and recruit those other areas of the country. But you've got to have a base of kids. And there's some of the kids that have stepped up for Illinois this year. I mean, you bring Coran Taylor in to play quarterback. You know, he was fourth on the depth charts and was able to do some things. And, you know, Donnie Navarro is a kid who was a walk-on. You see the success he's had. And let's face it, Doug, from an interest standpoint, those are the kind of kids that I think automatically are going to draw interest to your program. Just those in-state kids that are doing it. It's a natural storyline, and it's a feel-good storyline, and it's something that's just kind of disappearing. I mean, I turn on a Fighting Illini game. I'll be honest, I struggle to find maybe a handful of in-state kids when I'm watching the games, and it's just disappointing.
And let me ask you, you know what, you talk about, you know, the state, but what about like the stability? Every like 4, 5, 6 years, there's a new coach. And I've heard a lot of coaches, you know, I've gone to games and a lot of coaches are upset because, you know, there's a new coach coming in. And then like right now, you know, Lovey's struggling again. And then you hear, hey, he may not be around again. And it's a new staff.
Yeah, Kendrick, that's a good point. And, you know, I think there's that. I think it's become more commonplace, though, honestly, the way the coaching profession has come. I think the high school coaches are kind of used to seeing a new face come in every 3 or 4 years, it seems like. You know, but I'll go back to previous staffs at Illinois. And, you know, everyone talks about Beckman and, you know, the obvious issues that were there. But you look at the staff that he had and the approach that they had to in-state recruiting. Maybe they didn't get all those kids, but I tell you what, as far as from a positive PR side and from the coaches, I mean, the coaches, I thought, had a pretty good feel for that staff and appreciated the way they recruited. And, you know, I find it interesting how a lot of those assistants have gone on to other places and have had success. So, you know, I think it's a formula. I think it's, again, number one is winning. I mean, let's face it, you know, if you're winning games, things are going to be easier. Things are going to be easier to get into schools, and you're going to get kids' attention. That certainly has played a factor. I don't want to downplay that at all. Being able to be a consistent winner helps in recruiting. Guys, there's just a disconnect. That's the best way, the easiest way I can describe it. There's a disconnect, whether it's between the staff and the high school coaches or the staff and getting the attention of the in-state kids. And then the other thing I think it works against Illinois, it's too damn easy to recruit this state. I mean, look at what's around us. You can go 3 hours and you're in Iowa. You can go 3 hours and you're in Wisconsin. You can go 2 to 3 hours and you're in Purdue. You know, 3.5, 4 hours you're in Michigan. It's a lot to compete against. And just the way things have gone lately, those other out-of-state schools are winning a lot more than they're losing, unfortunately.
I heard you a couple of times do some interviews, and you talked about like the skill positions and the talent hasn't been that great over the last couple of years. I mean, you know, what are your thoughts about some of the upcoming talent that's coming through the state, you know, that's coming up recently or in the presently?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned numbers, because I had an interview with someone else and I was asked about why it seems like the numbers are declining and the quality is declining here in Illinois. And, Now that certainly is a part of it. You know, it's something that doesn't get talked a lot about, but if you look at our numbers overall from kids that have signed letters of intent, let's call it FBS letters of intent, they continue to steady or decline. And, you know, there's a million different reasons for it. Interestingly enough, in 22, Kendrick, when you mentioned skill positions, I mean, right at the very top of the class, there's two kids that, you know, if you're Illinois, you've got to at least make an attempt to get either one of these kids. And for me, it's Tyler Morris and Caleb Brown. I mean, those two guys are high-level athletes. They are high-level impact kind of players that I think could be a game-changer for Illinois. And so right off the top of that 2022 class, there's a handful of guys that are, again, at that really, really high tier that rivals 100 or 250 level nationally. And, you know, so I think overall there's definitely some skill kids that are going to be worth looking into and definitely checking in on. But, again, it's how do you separate yourself with these kids? How do you, you know, how do you sell yourself to these kids? And these kids are hearing from everybody. And I just, when I talk to them, Illinois is not in the first round of schools that they mentioned, and that's a problem.
You know, I would throw a couple names out there too. You mentioned Caleb Brown, Tyler Morris, two great players. Illinois is not really in good position with either one of those guys. But so another guy, Sebastian Cheeks, does not mention Illinois. Reggie Florima, you talked to him about Illinois, and he talks a little bit about him, but not very much. And a lot of schools coming after him, a good, really good wide receiver. You know, and we did a story recently, Edgy, and I'm sure you read it. We did a story on some 2022 kids that we thought Illinois should be offering. Okay. Yep. And, you know, two of them from Fenwick, Caden Cobb, the quarterback, big, you know, physical left-handed kid who's really developed physically and has a really good arm. His top target, Ian Pugh, who's kind of a wide receiver, maybe flex tight end if he gets a little bit bigger.
Yep.
Ahmad Robinson, quick twitch athlete from East St. Louis, plays corner there. And then Jared Beatty, linebacker from Oswego East. Those four kids jump out at me that they're not holding Illinois offers. And is there a legit reason right now why a Big Ten school wouldn't be looking at those guys?
You know, in the case of most of those kids, no, there's no excuse. They should be. They should be on a short list. But going back to COVID and what's been really weird about this recruiting class so far in the 22s and even going beyond in 23 is, you know, kids like Caleb and Tyler, they're obviously high tier kids. And so I'd say maybe your top 10 kids are hearing from Big Ten, Power Five schools. And there's not much else out there. You take a look at the amount of scholarships that have been offered. It's been really slow. And again, I point to the fact that there's no fall football here. There's no tape. And Doug, I'll tell you right now, there's probably off the top of my head without even cheating and looking at my screen, there's four or five offensive linemen that I think should be hearing from Illinois right now. And, you know, the last time I had discussions with these guys, I haven't heard a whole lot of that. And that's got to be a little bit concerning. I mean, I'm not sure what the line, you know, what you're going to be looking for offensive line wise, but I don't care what your numbers are. I think every year you should be on, you know, a handful of these guys. And, you know, I'm thinking of guys like Valen Erickson out of St. Rita. I'm thinking about Yasser Eloadi from Maine East. You know, that kid's 6'8 and 290 and moves really well and raw, but he's got a chance to be really good. You know, I know Deuce McGuire, I think, has mentioned Illinois a little bit, but it hasn't exactly been overwhelming. You know, there's a handful, four or five offensive linemen right there that I think could play at Illinois and be pretty good players as well. And you just don't hear these kids talking about that very much.
Yeah. They do. You talk about offensive line and, you know, Chicago, of course, the Chicago area and the Catholic League and all those, they're famous for producing offensive linemen. You have to go in there every year. And Illinois did that in the 2021 class. Three kids that really are not instant impact guys, but I've talked to you about them before, and they do have, you know, some potential and some size and skill. And that's Josh Gaskey, Zach Barlev, and Josh Kretz. you know, 2021 kids that they're going to sign here in December. You know, what have you seen from these kids on film, and if you've seen them in person, are they legit Big Ten guys, and can they come in and make an impact at Illinois?
Yeah, I think they are, and what I like about all three is I think there's more upside to come too. They're not 100%, you know, physically locked in and ready to go. I mean, Geske's gonna continue to put weight on and get bigger. You know, Josh Kreutz, I think, is probably the most college ready out of the three. But even Zach Barlev has made a ton of progress. I had a chance to see him about a month ago in person. And I think, Doug, I told you I was really impressed with the amount of weight and size he's put on and the way he was moving too. So you can tell the kids put in a ton of work. And I think you need to be encouraged with those three coming in. I think Josh Kreutz, anyone that's watched the Bears, I mean, you know, he's had one hell of a teacher in his father, Olin. And, he reminds me of the Allens that went to Hinsdale Central, ended up playing, having nice careers at Michigan State. He's that caliber of a center, and where just technically he does so many things. He's a wrestler. He moves really well. And I think he's a guy that I think could come in and maybe contribute early, because he's going to be a really good player for Illinois.
He is. And you know, and since we're talking about offensive linemen, are you surprised at all about how well Kendrick Green has been playing for the Illini? I mean, he's having an all Big Ten type of season, great leader on the team, and is really developing into a really heck of a left guard. Anything surprise you about that?
No, I think Illinois rightly called it on him. I think in getting a chance to know him and know the Peoria program with Tim Thornton, you knew that you're getting a kid that really wanted it. And I think that gets lost a lot of times in the equation when you're recruiting kids. I mean, Kendrick was hungry. Kendrick was hungry as a junior in high school. He wanted it. And, you know, again, I think anyone that looked and evaluated him saw a kid that really could play on either side of the ball, Doug, depending upon what your need was going to be. He had that ability. He had the athletic ability. You know, you look at all the attributes, bend and just quick twitch. He had everything. And, you know, again, just totally bought into it, and his success, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And I'm really happy for him, because, like I said, he was a kid that you knew he wanted it really bad and worked really hard for it. And again, just another in-state kid that's to me is a really good feel-good story for Illinois.
Yeah, you know, he's like a perfect example why in-state recruiting is so important, because he's – you know, not necessarily the face of the program like a Juice Williams back in the day, but a kid who's going to go out and sell Illinois. You know, he's completely bought into the Illini program. You know, he's playing great. He's going to be drafted eventually. And that's why you want to recruit in your own backyard. You know, those type of kids who are loyal to the school. But, you know, I want to talk about a couple of 2021 kids who I think were hotly debated among coaches, whether they were Power 5 or not Power 5. And I know Illinois looked at them, and one of them they offered and then backed away. And that's, you know, running back Willie Shaw, who's headed to Toledo, kind of an all-purpose running back. And he would have really benefited from having a fall season, I think, and picked up some offers. And then Malachi McNeil, a little bit undersized, not a great athlete, but a real tenacious type of linebacker, low center of gravity and a big hitter. And he's off to North Dakota.
Mean kid. I mean, he's a kid.
So
he's a kid you watch, and I mean, he's everywhere. So that, yeah, I agree. That's the kind of kid that's not going to fit the profile. But boy, you get him on a field and you give him an assignment, he's going to get it done. So yeah, I agree. He's a kid that, and another one that you could have seen maybe a first couple, two, three films, and you look at your recruiting chart and see where you're at, and if you find a way to sneak out a scholarship or find a way to get him on, yeah, he would have been a nice kid. I could see getting some late interest from Big Ten schools for sure.
And Willie Shaw's got some good size and speed. He's, he's probably not an every down back, you know, but more of an all-purpose type of kid. Do you think he could play at a higher level than Toledo?
Yeah, and you mentioned exactly why things didn't pick up on him was because he had no senior tape. And I think the one question people had on him was maybe his straight line speed. You know, how fast was he really? And I mean, I saw him play live three times over the last 2 years, and I thought he was very, really legit. And you know, part of a, what I thought was a pretty good running back class in the state of Illinois in 21. So yeah, no, I agree. There's, and believe me, Doug, there's some others in there as well that it's going to be interesting when all this shakes out after signing day, because I guarantee you right now, this 21 class, because all the weirdness that's gone on with COVID, including on the recruiting side, I'm telling you, you're going to find some kids at some lower levels that are going to blow up and have huge careers. And people are going to scratch their heads and go, wow, why didn't we recruit this kid or that kid? Well, in a lot of cases, they just didn't have enough to go off of. And that's unfortunately for the kids, and what will end up shaking out for some colleges are just some kids you're going to just flat out miss on because of it.
Yeah, you're
pretty good. What Illinois is going to probably have to end up doing is to probably try to get some of those kids that fly under the radar at this point, because you're right, you got to win games at some point. And right now, they're not winning games. And I've talked to kids that's outside the state, and you're right, they'll hear from Illinois and then they don't hear from them again. So, you know, and I know you want to be the coach to have that eye to find some of the talent, but I think that's going to be their best bet at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I think what's really interesting about this signing class, and, you know, especially you look at the FCS levels and even D2, where, you know, I don't think these kids even know what the money's going to be yet, you know, because with the combination of the seniors getting another year, so, you know, these schools are trying to figure out who's going to stay and then how are they going to, you know, FCS can split scholarships. So, you know, you might find some kids that are unsigned going after that December period and things could open up. And, or again, the portal, the ever popular portal, could be very interesting in a year or two, where you're going to see some kids that are at some, you know, FCS schools all of a sudden are getting Big Ten recruiting interest because, hey, they were able to get into those schools, show what they're able to do, and all of a sudden they're getting dragged up to the big boys, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of many things that, because of all the weirdness of this COVID stuff, it's going to be interesting to watch for sure.
Speaking of the portal, I'm sure you saw that Quincy Patterson, former quarterback in state here, that we saw a lot
just
on
the campus. Go get him now. Just go get him. Yeah, stop screwing around.
We saw him a lot on the camp circuit, and, you know, he's a big kid, can really spin the football. I don't know about his accuracy. Maybe he needs a little bit of work. Yeah. But isn't that the kind of kid that Illinois should just be jumping on when they see him in the portal?
He's the kind of kid that you would hope Illinois would have him already. And, you know, it's he has so much upside, Doug, and even off the field, and had a chance to interview him many times, and academically he's really strong. And I mean, just every aspect, he has that Juice Williams vibe. Yeah. Panache. I like that. I like that swag. We'll throw that one in there. But he does, he has that. And again, it seems to come quite a bit with quarterbacks, confident, not cocky. But Doug, he's a high level athlete, man. If I'm Illinois, I'm sitting on the doorstep now trying to get that kid because, you know, he'll make that quarterback room a little more interesting. I don't think there's any doubt.
I think there's some interest there. I think they are looking at him, but like with all the transfers and all the recruits, really, it's going to come down to whether the staff can sell Lovey Smith on taking him or not, and what the scholarship situation looks like. And, you know, one other kid I really like to talk about is the quarterback, Caden Cobb. I've just mentioned him briefly, but, you know, talk about his development. You know, he's a filled out since you last saw him a year ago on the football field, and has a really good arm. Big Ten type of quarterback. Is that a guy that Illinois should be going after, you know, with all guns firing?
Yeah, I mean, ironically, we already have two quarterbacks committed out of 22 in state. So, you know, Rashad Rochelle committed to Rutgers, and obviously just recently Dontrell Jackson Jr. went to Coastal Carolina. But, you know, Caden's in that group. There's no doubt. He's one of the top quarterbacks in that group. And, yeah, it's funny. I actually had a chance to watch him throw Friday. If you go to my website, I've got some video up on him, just some quarterback skill work. And, Doug, every time I see this kid, he's bigger. He's taller. He's stronger. You know, totally filling out. I mean, he's already probably 6'4", probably close to 200 pounds. And he's a lefty, so kind of joke with him. He's a weirdo because he's a lefty. But, Yeah, he can sling it. There's no doubt. I would say if there's probably one part of his game that people have looked at from his tape and what they've seen is probably accuracy a little bit more. And but again, you go back to the fact that, man, if this kid could have had tape, he might have 15 offers by now with the way potentially he can turn out. You mentioned, you know, Fenwick was going to be a team that was set to challenge for 5A for a state title. You mentioned Ian Pugh, who's a receiver who everyone's going to know. Max Reese is another kid on that team that is 6'4 right now, probably about 215, 220, who's going to be a power five tight end. And just the weapons alone that he had on that team, Caden was primed to have a huge, huge junior year. So if we play in the spring, I hope he'll definitely benefit from some early tape. And Doug, he's going to be one of those kids that's going to go from zero offers to about 10 in a heartbeat.
All right. Well, Kedrick, you got anything as we wrap up here? I'll give you one last shot at Tim.
Well, I guess, yeah. You know, I guess my last thing is I mentioned a little bit earlier, I talked about some of the kids out state. And, you know, I don't want to say it's negative recruiting, but I guess my thought is, do you ever hear some of the other coaches or kids talk about why they shouldn't go to Illinois and things that they don't have that other schools have? Because, you know, they upgrade their facilities, but I've talked to some kids and they just say, hey, you know, you're not going to win there. Things are going to change there and they're not developing kids. Do you ever hear anything like that, you know, from your perspective?
You know, Kendrick, I would be 100% honest with you if I did hear that. I don't hear a ton of that. I think, unfortunately, the scoreboard is kind of negatively sold themselves. And then you mentioned from an overall kind of feel and vibe and everything else, there's just not a ton of excitement and energy over a season. And, you know, when you continue to have losing seasons, that's all the negative recruiting you kind of need to do in a lot of ways. And so I can't remember very many kids that have come up and said, yeah, so-and-so said this against this about Illinois, about that about Illinois. You know, because I think these kids do realize it. Maybe they don't end up choosing Illinois, but they do realize the value of the University of Illinois. I don't think that's ever been a question, and I think the parents realize that as well, that, look, academically it's a great school. You know, you talk about the alumni base and being able to – look, if you're an in-state kid, you want to go somewhere like Illinois because if you want to get a job when you graduate out of college, it's a heck of a lot easier being an in-state kid and getting a degree from the University of Illinois and getting a job and you know, having success as opposed to moving a couple thousand miles away, going to school in an area that they kind of don't really know you and you don't really have a connection. You know, so again, those are some positives that I think everyone's well aware of with Illinois that either gets pushed to the back because of the other reasons we talked about. But no, I think everyone out there knows what Illinois can definitely offer when things are going well. Things just aren't going well.
They're not. And, I'm going to jump in with a final thought. And, for a coach, to me, a coach stepping in at that job at Illinois and you start working on recruiting, the first thing you're going to want to do is draw a line from Chicago to St. Louis to Indianapolis and back to Chicago. And you have that triangle there, I think, that should be your primary recruiting base and should be hitting it hard with at least two or three of your assistants should be hitting that area really hard. And they haven't been doing it under Lovie Smith. And I think that's much to his detriment when it comes to stacking recruiting classes. But, for those of you out there listening to the podcast and you can't see Edgy Tim, Tim's decked out. Decked out in his Chicago White Sox gear. So
our year, buddy. Hey. It's our year. 21. Here we come.
Cubs. But to finish this off, Tim, what'd you think of the La Russa hire for the Sox?
It's kind of embarrassing, honestly, on some levels. I think it 100% goes against everything that Rick Hahn was trying to get done with that organization. I'm hoping that the talent level can overcome that hire. But again, the guy is a Hall of Famer, so you have to respect that. But doesn't mean I have to like it.
There you go, folks. Final word from Edgy Tim. All right. Thanks so much, Tim. I appreciate it.
And, guys. Hey, you guys keep up the good work, too. As I tell you all the time, it's You guys do a great work. You know, and again, unfortunately, since I haven't covered a football game in over a year, I live vicariously through you guys now because you actually have football to cover. And just keep doing the really good work because, like I said, you guys have done a nice job. So,
and if you're into high school football recruiting in Illinois, go to edutem.com. And right now, I believe you can get the 60-day free trial, so a good deal.
I'll give you whatever you want. Just come on over and subscribe. We'll take care of you.
There you have it. All right.